So today's shiur will be on the Simane Aravav and Simane Taftifa, how one tells whether or not an Arava is the appropriate one to be used for the Dalet Minim, and when a Taftifa is that which is possible, it's not a good min for the Arava. So when one reads through this Gemara in Laman Gimel Beis, the Mishnah of the Gemara onto Laman Dalet Aleph, it seems very insignificant. It's not very rich with Rishonim or Achronim. But if you learn it well, I think there are two Yesodos that come out of this, very important Yesodos that come from these Gemaras and Rishonim I'd like to go through. And now I know everybody didn't get through all the Marmor Komos, so we'll go a little slower and we'll try to go through at least Shitas Rashi along with the Marashah and the Rashash. There's a lot of Rashis here. And depending on the time, maybe tomorrow we'll go through the Shitas Rosh and Tosfos and the Rambam. So the mission begins on Laman Gimel Beis. Arava Gzula, the Avasha Psula. We've discussed those, Psulim already. It's probably not very different by Arava. Shal Asherav, Shal Irna Dachas Psula. Those two are Psula. Nektam Rosha, Nifritsu Aleha, Vataftafa Psula. And our concern, as we mentioned, Ataftafa, what exactly is Ataftafa that the Mishnah says is possible? And just to finish the Mishnah, Kamusha, Vishinishu, Mixas Aleha, Vishal Balak Shera, and those types of deficiencies in the Arava is not a problem. Those would be kasher. So taftfa in the Mishnah, what exactly is taftfa? Why is that possible? What is an Arava? Why is an Arava kasher? So Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan, quoting the Pasuk in Emor, Arve Nachal. What does the Pasuk mean, Arve Nachal? That's the description of the Arava. What exactly is Arve Nachal? Hagadilim al Hanachal. Something that grows on the river, on the stream, on the water. Dover Acher, Arve Nachal, Sha'ala, Shela, Mashuch, Kinachal. That the leaf, the shape of the leaf, is pulled, it's like an ellipse, not circular, but it's pulled a little bit where it's shaped like an ellipse, like lips. The shape ellipse, and it looks like lips. So one reads this Gemara, it seems very insignificant whether Arve Nachal is Gedilim al Nachal, whether or not it looks like a Nachal, but I think it's much more important than that. So just give you a little background. A little, not Hagdama to Zra'im, but an important Chakira that exists in Zra'im, which will highlight this these two drashas here. So the Pasuk in Parsha Shoftim says, Reishis digancha, v'tirashcha tirarcha. The bikurim are taken from three types of foods. Digancha, which are grains, the five grains, tiroshcha, which is wine, and v'tzarcha, the shemen. So the five grains, oil, wine and oil are the three minim that the Torah says that one should take chumos and maestros from. Shitas Tosfos later on, Alam Haman Aleph brings this in parentheses, the maybe another shir about Tosfos all over, particularly Bechoros, Daphne, and Dalam and Aleph writes that these are deraisa, everything else is dirabanan. All other fruit, all the peros are only dirabanan by chumos and maestros. However, there's a famous Shitas Rambam. Rambam writes that chumas peros, any fruit that grows from the ground, apples, oranges, in addition to that which is mentioned in the pasuk, is also chayv in chumas and maestros. So again, Tosos and Rashi all over say only the three mentioned in the pasuk, digancha, tiroshcha, v'tzarcha, the five grains, wine, and oil, are chayv midiraisa, chumas and maestros. The Rambam thinks all peros, all fruit, are chayv midiraisa.
Chumas and maestros.
Bikurim is shivas and minimum. But chumas and maestros, the Rambam thinks all peros are chayv midiraisa. Just to throw out, there are other shitas. Some say actually shivas aminim are chayv in chumas and maestros, only though. That's the shita brought down in the Shita Mikvetzes and Bava Metzia. But what's the machlokas Rambam versus Rashi or Tosfos, where the peros, all other fruit, apples, oranges, and the like, are chayv midiraisa or not? I think you could say as follows. That is the ikar chayv chumas maestros based on the karka? Karka Eretz Yisrael, only in Eretz Yisrael is there a chi of chumas and maestros, this is the din of the karka Eretz Yisrael, or is it din in the chefs of the min itself? So according to Tosfos and Rashi, they think it's a din only in the min, in the chefsa. The digancha, tiroshcha, v'tzarcha, those fruit, those grains that I mentioned in the Torah, and even though anything else grows from Eretz Yisrael, apples, oranges, those are insignificant. They're good to eat, but they're not special, they're not unique types of fruit. So therefore, Tosfos and Rashi think it's a din in the chafatzim, in the minim, and dafka those three mentioned in the Torah. But the Rambam says, no, it's a din in the karka Eretz Yisrael. Everything that grows, anything that nurtures from the karka of Eretz Yisrael, the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that which instills the chiyuv and gives the chiyuv of chumas and maaseros to any fruit that grows. Similarly, we find the Torah in the beginning of Or HaChaim of Siman Reish Ches, he's dealing with why the Shivas Aminim have their own unique bracha achrona. They don't say Birkas HaMazon because only bread. And they don't have Beor Nefashos, they have Main Shalosh. Why do they have a unique bracha achrona? So the Torah brings two reasons. I should have opened it up. One reason is because these things are so special as fruit, as a minim. These are minim are very unique. The Shivas Aminim are very special as a min, and therefore these minim demand they have a special bracha achrona. Alternatively, he says, no, the din Eretz Yisrael, the karka. These Shivas Aminim represent the karka of Eretz Yisrael more so than any other fruit. An apple and orange would not represent the karka of Eretz Yisrael, that's with these Shivas Aminim. So again, these two reasons, this very chakira, is it din karka Eretz Yisrael, or karka in general, or is it din the Aminim? So now bring it back to our sugiv, Arava, Arve Nachal, the first opinion of the Gemara says, Arve Nachal, Hagadilim al HaNachal, that which grows from the water, the place of the karka, the concern is where it grows. And davar acher, arve nachal sha'ala shalom moshech kenachal. No, the appearance, the tzura of it, the min itself, has to have a certain appearance where it appears like a nachal, and that's what the Torah is telling us. So this ver chakira comes out of the Gemara here in the context of a Rava. And there are nafkamina. It was very nice, glad to hear everyone talking about these issues in the Gemara that we'll read through further. The nafkamina is, if you have something that grows on the stream and it doesn't look like a Rava, well, that might be good according to the first opinion, because the din is it has to grow in the water. But according to the Davar Acher, it's a din in how it looks. So if you have an arava that looks like, has a sha'ala sha'ala mashuch, that has a lip-shaped leaf, and it grows in the mountains, that should be good also. So there's an afkamina. So this is the conceptual point that comes out from these two drushas. Now that being said, so that's the criteria for what's considered arava, kasha arava. We have to figure out what's the psul of a taftfa, why a taftfa in the Mishnah isn't good, what's it lacking. Let's go right to the Gemara now. The next brisa is not a concern right now. We'll get back to it, but we'll just read through it since it's next. Tani idach, arve nachal ein li ela arve nachal. So again, the first brisa was understanding what the word nachal meant to the pasuk. Is a nachal a reference to where it grew, or a nachal a reference to what it looked like? This brisa is what's arve. The word arve, it says plural arve. What's that coming to teach us? What's it coming to include? So ein li ela arve nachal. I only know that which grows on the rivers. Shabal v'shel harim. Things that grow in fields and mountains, minayin. How do you know that arava that grows there is kasher? Tamar lomar arve nachal mikol makom. Arve is plural. It's more inclusive to include anywhere where it grows. Abashal Omer, he argues, is no arve. Why does it say arve plural? Shtayim, it implies two different aravos. Achas lalulav, achas lamikdash. One mitzvah of arava that we carry in the dalim minim, we shake every day of sukkahs. The achas lamikdash, and a special one, the parak later on is dedicated, at least part of it is dedicated to the arava, special mitzvah in the mikdash, they would also use the arava for. Mar says, v'rabbanan lamikdash minalahu. So if they're banan, they use arve to include all locations of arava. What are they coming to do with the word? How do they learn, rather, the source of the arava in the mikdash? So hilchasa gemirluhu, they learn it as a halacha Moshe Sinai. Damar of Asi, Amar of Yochanan, Eser nitios arava, Nisa chamayim, halacha Moshe Sinai. All those things, those three things mentioned, are halacha Moshe Sinai. Okay, so that's the brisa. We'll leave that aside for now. So now the Tanur Rabbanan, now the Gemara wants to know, how do you know what the taftfa, what is the psul of taftfa? So arve nachal, hagadilas al hanachal, that which grows on the river, that's kasher. Prat le taftfa, hagadila bein haharim, to exclude the taftfa which grows in the mountains. So here the Braisa tells us, how do you know what a taftfa is? Oh, you have to figure out where it grows. Anything that grows in the mountains, away from the water, that's a taftfa. Arve nachal, the harava, that's kasher, that grows on the waters. Rab Zeira, my krav, what's the pasuk? How do you know this? Kacha, maim rabim, taftva samo. So what does that pasuk mean? So Gemara, it's kacha, maim rabim, you should be taken from the great waters. Taftva samo, they placed it, they referred to it as a taftva. And the Gemara is going to elaborate. You guys probably saw it. We'll just read through it inside. Amr le'abai, v'dilma, prushi kamifarish. Maybe it really, it's coming to explain. Taftva is that which comes on a lot of water. Kacha, maim rabim, umay niu taftva. Maybe that's how to explain it. Taftva is a reference to kachal maim rabim. Im kein mai samu. If that's the case, what's the word samu doing? Amar avo, amar kadosh baruch hu. So he's going to explain what's the drasha. Amar kadosh baruch hu. Ani amarti shayu yisrael lefana ki kachal maim. I said that klaisa should be like in front of me like that which grows on a lot of water. Umay niu arava. I wanted Klai Yisrael to be like an arava, which grows in a lot of water. V'hein tamu atzman kitzavtva. Yet they place themselves, they consider themselves as a tzavtva shebaharim. That's how you learn the drasha. The Ikedemasni, and the Gemara goes on to explain a different version of this. Lahaikra amesnisa kacha maim rabim tzavtva samo maskla rabzeva dilma prusha kamifarish kacha maim rabim mai niu tzavtva imkein mai samo amar vo amar kash baruch ani martishu Yisrael afana ki kacha maim rabim mai niu arava vein tamu asman ki tzavtva shibaharim. The same exact brisa, just a slightly different version. So the first brisa about defining a tzavtva is about where it grows, bein ha'arim, that which grows in the mountains. But the next brisa has a very different definition. Tana rabbanon, ezehu arava ve'ezehu tzavtva. How does one know what's an arava? How does one know what's a tzavtva? Arava, kana shala adom, v'ala shala mashach pia chalak. The stem of the arava is red, the leaf is pulled like a shape like a lip, and the edges of the leaf is smooth. Taftva, kana shala lavan, the stem is white. Avala shala agal, and the shape of the leaf is circular. Upia doma lamagal, and the edges of the leaf is jagged. So that's the difference of a taftva and a rava. So it comes out of this price that taftva is defined by how it looks, the type of min, the cheftza it is. You have to look at it. Is the stem red? Is the stem white? Are the leaves circular? Are they shaped like lips? Are they smooth edge? Are they jagged? So these two brises also go along with this two drashas in Arava. We look at the place where it grows, or do we look at how it appears, what type of min it is. So that's what we get out of the Gemara. So what exactly are the Shitas Rishonim? How do they, what do they prefer? What's their emphasis in defining an Arava?
Are we assuming that Tzatzo is like the antithesis of an Arava? Like, we quoted like the Tarnabon on Lama Yom Vez, right, where, same kind of deal, right, where it's at the place of the object. That wasn't talking about Tzavtva specifically, it's talking about whether, you know, it's an Arava or not. Here we're saying whether it's Tzavtva, so is the, or not, like, on Lama Yom Vez, implying Tzavtva?
I'm not sure what you're saying. I mean, we have a definition of Arava.
Yeah.
And Arava, let's say the first way is to find that where it grows, so Tzavtva is something that doesn't grow there. Arava grows in the water, tzavtva grows in the mountains. It's the opposite of arava.
So anything that's not an arava is a tzavtva?
According to that opinion, if it's about where it grows. If it's about how it looks, so arava is defined by how it looks. A tzavtva has its own unique characteristics as well.
Okay.
Question is, you're dealing with what about something in the middle that has some of one and some of the other. So at the end, if we have time, probably not today, maybe tomorrow, we'll get to those issues about something that has some of each of those characteristics. But what comes out again of the Gemara is the ikur about where it grows, the makom, the karka, or the ikur is the min itself, the tsura, how it exactly looks. So you look at Shitas Rashi, it's clear what his stance is on the definition of Arava and the psul of Tzavtva. If you look at Rashi on the Mishnah, back in Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis, Tzavtva, he writes, Tzavtva min Arava, v'ala shala agul, k'damin lakaman, u'pasala mikra. He doesn't define tzavtva as a place that's gadol bein haharim. It's not about where it grows, but rather about how it looks. He says the leaf is shaped as it's a circular shape, and therefore that's why tzavtva is possible. Yeah.
But he says that he passes it from a pasuk, and that brisa doesn't quote a pasuk.
That brisa.
The brisa of that pasuk is the tzavtva because of its shape or its jagged edge. It doesn't quote a pasuk.
That's a very good question. So it could be he's referring to the pasuk right in the beginning of the Gemara where we define arve nachal as something that has a lip-shaped leaf. Mimela tafta is pasuk because it's circular. Okay, so that's clear in Rashi. Rashi in the Mishnah says it's the din of the min itself, how it appears. Going further in Rashi now on the Gemara, still Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, the last line, Mashuch. Again, the drush here says it has to be mashuch. V'lo, Rashi says, lo agol prat l'tavtva. So that's answering your question. The pasuk itself, where it says mashuch, is coming dafka to exclude a tzavtva which has a different shape. That's what Rashi's commenting on. That's what the drush itself is telling us to do. And again, the focus, the emphasis on the appearance of it. Then the next Rashi says, v'shel harim. What's harim coming to include? That's the other brisa. Arve, the plural arve, is coming to include that which grows elsewhere. Arava shel harim. Below Tafsifa. Coming to include Arava that grows on mountains, but not a Tafsifa. What do you mean not a Tafsifa? Isn't a tafsa that which grows on mountains? That's what the Brisa told us later on, Lama Dalet, it grows on mountains. Why is he saying coming to exclude tafsa? Tafsa is, Hainuach, it is growing on mountains. Elamai, Rashi must be telling us that tafsa is not defined by where it grows, it's defined by how it looks. And if it has a circular shaped leaf, it's pasul. When the pasul is coming to include shaharim, it's including only those that which looks like an arava. It has a lip-shaped leaf. And therefore, that's a Rashi again, the Shitaso, that Tafsva and Arava are defined by how it looks. Now, going along with Dalman Alf, the Brisa about that how one defines Tafsva, that is defined by the location of where it grows. So the Gemara itself had a question, what does Kacha Mayim mean? And define Kacha Mayim Rabim. So look at the Rashash, if you didn't look at it yet, how Rashash defines this Gemara. Because this Gemara seems to be going against what Rashi held. Rashi holds, it's about how it looks. So this Bryce is against Rashi. So the Rashash in the back. Yeah, Chaim, you have a question?
Is it possible to have something that looks like a tafsa grow by the water?
So I don't know. I'm not sure. But if that was the case, Rashi would not allow it. Because if it looks like a tafsa, it's not good. It's all about how it looks.
Either way, it's not good.
And Matthias was, I don't know. But according to another opinion, we'll see some Rishonim may hold it's all about location. So maybe if a tafsva has a white stem, has a circular shaped leaf, it grew in the water, that might be allowed. Anything that grows in the water might be allowed, according to the other opinion. So the Rashash.
Well, if the tafsva isn't an arava.
No.
If the tafsva isn't an arava, then you'd say anything that grows by. Meaning if that tree grew by the water, it would also be kosher for an arava. Anything that grows by the water is now kosher for an arava.
That would be the extreme. If you hold that's all about Arvei Nachum means the place of growth, the extreme would be anything that grows in the water could be good enough. And that seems wild. So I guess just to say now, it comes up later on by Esrog. They talk about what exactly is an Esrog. Esrog, maybe it's like little peppercorns or something. How do you know it's an Esrog? Esrog, the fruit tastes like the bark. Pepper tree apparently also it tastes like the bark. So the Gemara said, the Rishonim said, no, we know for sure an Esrog is an Esrog. There's no question about that. It's Halacha Moshe Sinai or it's a Kabbalah. You just want to know what's the drasha. How do you understand the pasuk telling us that? Here too also, it might be no question that a rava is an rava that we use. They just want to understand the pasuk. So you can't use a tree, obviously. That goes in the water. But, okay, so the Rashash in the back, Olam and Dalam and Aleph, and Prat Litaftva Hagdilim Ben Harim. That Brisa, that Taftva, is defined by where it grows. Perish She'en Darcha Ligadol Amayim. It doesn't grow in the water. That's what the Taftva is defined by. Ava'alze Omar Mikra. That's what the Patek says. What's the source? Kach Amayim Rabim Vechule. Dimashma Dehi Ena Gdela Amayim Rabim. It's clear. He is the Pashup Shah of the Gemara. It's the way we explained it. That Taftva is defined by the Pasuk. That Kach Amayim Rabim Arava, that's the Gemara says, Arava grows in a lot of water. The tafsva samo, but the tafsva is something different that doesn't grow on a lot of water. And Rashi perish bin in acher. We'll get to Rashi in a moment. So that's how Rashash learns the price of pashup shot. The Marasha also, and Laman Dal Manaf also learns like the Rashash. She says chedusha gadol. He adds in a little more tam to it. The Marasha says kechach hamayim rabim umayniu arava. Zriya refers to tztaka. Vein mayim el Torah. Mayim is always a reference to Torah. K'mefur sham shenosin tztaka al pi Torah. Hachanami b'haikra. Here too in this pasuk, v'yitnei u'besod dezer kach. That's the beginning of the pasuk. Dehainu shehi nishrash b'mitzvot tztaka. You should be rooted in the mitzvahs of tztaka. Al pi Torah. V'heim samu atzmon kitzavtzva. They, Klal Yisrael, place themselves as tzavtzva shebaharim that were found in the mountains. Dehainu rachuk min ha'mayim shel Torah. They distance themselves from water. So Rava, which is supposed to be Klal Yisrael, has to be near a lot of water, where they nurture from, yonek from the Torah. And yet, Klal Yisrael place themselves distant from the Torah, distant from the water. So the Maharsha and the Rashash both learn this pasuk, this whole brisa here, pashup shat, that tzavtzva is defined by something that grows far from the water. If you look at Rashi and Lamed Aleph and Aleph, it says very differently. And Rashash already alluded to this, that the Rashi learned very different than the Rashash himself. Rashi writes, Kach ha'mayim rabim tzavtzva samo, k'dimifarish le Rabbi Avohu, oso shenishrash v'ochuz ha'mayim rabim, that which roots itself, that clings onto a lot of water, na'aset tzavtzva, it became a tzavtzva. Alma grusahi, therefore it's something of a lower level, lesser standard, Debetocha Nama B'Yechezkel. So I don't really understand what Rashi is saying here. I'm open to suggestions here. It sounds like since it was too much in the water, Tzavtva somehow became possible, and I guess therefore also grew some circular shaped leaves. I don't really know what Rashi is saying here. If anybody knows, please let me know. But he's saying something different than Rashash and Marsha. And that's probably because he couldn't learn like the Rashash and the Marsha, because it's against what he thinks. Again, the Brises, the two different Gemaras here, one Gemara, but two different Brises, say two different things. And Rashi's concern, his definition is the way it looks. Oh, but doesn't this Brisa tell us about where it grows? So therefore, Rashi could either say this, he's against this Brisa, or he could somehow reinterpret this Gemara to be going along with what he says. Rashi does reinterpret it. I don't know what he's saying exactly, but he somehow doesn't want to say what the Rashash and Marsha say because it's against his Mahalach. Anybody have any suggestions what Rashi means there? I could be reading it wrong. I think it's because it grows in so much water, therefore it turned into a tzavtva. Is that what he's saying?
The way I read it was...
Yeah.
I didn't think about it much. The way I read it was, he's just explaining the part of the Gemara where it's saying the expectation for Klal Yisrael is to be an Arava, which is a Sheva, and instead it became a tzavtva. So he's teaching the pasuk, though. What the pasuk needs to say is, that which is Almayim Rabim, and therefore supposed to be an Arava, instead of living up to what it was supposed to be, Nasa Tzavtzafa, he's not describing a physical thing that happens, that, you know, at Mayim Rabim becomes Tzavtzafa, that never happens, Tzavtzafa is in the heart of whatever. He's just saying, the expectation was it was supposed to be an Arava, but it was Nasa Tzavtzafa instead, and that's not a compliment, that's what
right.
Jesus said, that's in the
But he doesn't. He's not. Okay, so that you would read the Rashi with a comma before Nasa, and said Nasa Tzavtzafa.
Right.
But he doesn't tell us what Tzavtzafa is there, so it's really a moot point in Rashi. Somehow the Rashash thinks Rashi is saying something different. He doesn't. I guess according to that, he doesn't really elaborate.
Right.
I don't know how Rashi understands. Okay. Fine. So there's another Rashash here also. Actually, let's first look back at one more Rashi, on the first Rashi in the Gemara on Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. So this this Rashi is going on the drasha of the one he doesn't hold like. And Rashi can hold is about how it looks, and the other drasha of Arvei Nachal is about where it grows. Right? Arvei Nachal, Rashi writes, Hagadilas Ahad Nachal. Arvei Nachal can also be interpreted as a place of where it grows from. Nachle Mayim, Mitzvah Bazu. It's a mitzvah. It's better to have something that grows in the water. Umihu Shabal Kshera. However, even if you use something that grows in the field that's distant from the water, that would be allowed also. That's what he says. He allows even something b'di'evit, this Rashi. Even though the pasuk's telling us you have to have something that grows on the water, you're allowed to use something that grows far from the water. Now the Rashash on this, yeah.
Let's go back to the Rashash you just mentioned before. I thought he was saying that when Rashi's saying in Yahir, he was going to Rashi before the one called by Krah. That I thought that's how you see Rashi holds his sheet, though. I thought the Rashash and Rashi argue about, the Gemara asked my crow, what were they actually looking for?
Mm-hmm.
Rashash, who says that it's all about the Mako,
mm-hmm.
the question of the Gemara is, where do we actually know that the Tzatzava grows by the Harim and not by the water? And the Puzzle shows us that. According to Rashi, he says it's not about that. That can't be what the Puzzle is.
Oh, very good.
My crow
that's probably what he's talking about.
My crow is just, whatever, a Harim, that was like a side point. Really, just it's not a min haraba. And the question is, I thought that was...
That's great. I think you're probably right.
Rashash says, and that's why it says Mikra, and then he says, and Rashi explains Ben Yachar. So we thought it was going on that Rashi of Mikra.
And then Rashi would be Lishitasa still. It's not coming to tell us, how do you know Tzavtva grows on a mountain?
Right.
Rather, how do you know Tzavtva is a min that's not good enough? Oh, that's
right,
perfect.
Right.
Great. Excellent. Okay. Everyone see what we do? I guess may as well everyone want to see that Rashi inside. Mikra on Lama Dalad. Mikra the Tzavtva Ligruso. How do you know? The very question of the Gemara, according to Rashi, is how do you know Tzavtzafa is something that's not good? How do you know it's not considered a good min for Rava? And the Pasuk goes on to say, because the Pasuk calls it Tzavtzafa something grusa, a lesser form of an Rava. Great, thanks. Okay. So now back to the other Rashash. The Gemara, again, Rashi's told us that Arvei Nachal is a mitzvah. It's better to use something that grows by the water, but with the Eved, you could use something that doesn't grow by the water. And the Rashash and Lama Gimel Mabez writes on Rashi, do you mask Arvei Nachal? Miu shall baal kishera, Arvei lo, what's the rest of that? Arvei lo, ksatz kasha. Im kain, Lir benami sheinu mashra kenachel v'liskasher tapsva. If Rashi is coming to include other types of secondary aravas, he's coming to include something that grows far from the water, why doesn't Rashi come along and also include something that looks like a tafsva, that doesn't have the exact shape, it looks like a circle? That's Rashi Shitasa. So I think Rashi Shitasa and Rashi Shitasa. Rashi thinks the whole definition of arava is how it looks. It has to have a lip-shaped leaf. If it has a circular-shaped leaf, that's not an arava. That doesn't work. It won't be allowed. Something that grows far away from the water, okay, it might be best to have a second added in, be near the water. But if it doesn't, it's still called an arava. It still looks like an arava. And therefore, it would be allowed even though it grows on the fields. But Rashash thinks, no, it's all about the Pashup Shah and the Gemara on Lama Dalam and Aleph. It's all about where it grows. So once Rashi is coming to include things that grow far from the water, so why not include something that has a circular-shaped leaf? So Rashash and Rashi go to Shita, so everything works very, very nicely now. No one saw the Rambam yet, all right? Should we just stop here so everyone can see the Rambam, like maybe tomorrow? Let's see. Maybe we'll... let's read it inside, actually, the Rambam. You guys can probably pay attention. Can you pass me my Rambam? Right over there, sorry, on the side. I'll read inside it as we get started for tomorrow, I guess. So first, the Rambam and Peirush Mishnayos. Let's see how the Rambam, what his take is on this his shita here. The Rambam in Peirush Mishnayos. He writes on the Mishnah Arava Gzula Shema Yal Adas. You might think Ki Arava Eina Ba El Mimakum Hamayim Lifi She'am Arkasav Avri Nachal. You might think that arava, since the pasuk calls it arve nachal, something that grows on the nachal, you can only use an arava that actually grows on the water. Lo rata ela lehodia hamin be'ezah makum shi'itzmach. The Torah is only trying to tell you where to look, the best place to find arava. Most of them grow near the water, but not coming to tell you to liyukuva that it has to dafka grow in the water. Similar to Shita's Rashi, it's about how it looks, but not about where it grows. Rambam Hilchos Lulav, Perek Zayin, Halacha Gimel. Here in Perek Zayin, he's defining all the Dalaminim. He talks about Kapos Tamarim, then he goes on to Pri Eitz Hadar, and then Arvei Nachal in Halacha Gimel. He writes as follows: Arvei Nachal, Ha'amuras B'Torah, that which is mentioned in the Pasuk, Einan Kol Davar HaGadol HaNachal. It's not everything that grows in the water, like Chaim was saying. Ela Min Yaduahu Hanukkah Arve Nachal. It's actually is min. There's a min out there. There's a type of tree or branch that grows that's called Arve Nachal. Ala Shalom Mashuch. It has a lip shaped leaf. Upiv Chalak. Its edges are smooth. Vekana Shalom Adam. And the stem is red. Vizeh Hu Hanukkah Arava. This is what's called an Arava. Verov Minzeh Gadol HaNachal. Most of these branches and trees grow on the rivers. Lechach Nemar Arve Nachal. That's why it's called Arve Nachal. But afilu hayagadol b'midbar o b'harim kasher. Even if it grows in the midbar, if it grows in the mountains, it is kasher. So it's clear from the Rambam, he learns like Shitas Rashi, against the Rashash. It's all about how it looks, which type of min it is, has to have the stem and the leaf, everything has to be perfect to be called an arava. And who really cares where it grows? Arve Nachal just called Nachal because it grows most of the time near the water, but even if it didn't grow near the water, it would still be kasher like Shitas Rashi.
Is that against himself regarding Truma?
Interesting. So just because he holds in general that, you know, it might be about the karka, by zroim, at least by chumas and maisos, doesn't necessarily mean that every single halacha has to be about karka. I was just giving you that as a model to show such a hakira exists. But he's not going to always say every din is defined by the karka. Certain dinim are defined by the minim, especially arava is really nothing to do with zroim. It's not about a mitzvah and zroim. It's we're trying to define what the kasher min for dal minim. It's not a real zroim halacha, though. And even if it was the Ram Malacha, I don't think the Ram has to say every din is a din in the Karka, though. So is there any shita out there that holds that it's all about the Makom Gidula, where it really grows, and not about how it looks? So we already went through the Braisa, which I said we'll get back to, about what the word Arve in the Pasuk, Arve Nachal, why does it say Arve, plural, coming to include? So the Tanakhama said it comes to include every location where arava grows, shel baal, shel harim. That's by arve, coming to include every place where a rava grows. And Abba Shaul said, no, arve means two. One, achas aluv, achas lemikdash. The word arava, arve rather, they're two different machlokas, how to make, take the drasha. We go, we'll read together. I guess you don't see it inside, but it's an easy read. The Gemara and Mishnah, Lamed Daled and Beis, use this word arve to come to teach us another halacha. And that's going to be problematic. So the Mishnah and Lamed Daled and Beis, we'll just read through very quickly to get to the Iker point. Rabbi Shmuel Omer, this machlok is how many hadasim aravos do you need? Rabbi Shmuel Omer, shlosh hadasim, shte aravos. You need three hadasim, two aravos. Lulav echad, esrog echad. One lulav, one esrog. Afishnaim, ketumim, vechad, ena katum. Rabbi Tarfon Omer, afil shloshim, ketumim. Rabbi Kiva Omer, keshem, shlulav echad, nevesrog echad, kach hadas echad, varava achas. Rabbi Kiva says, no, you need one arava, one hadas. In the middle, there's a machlokas, does it have to be, can it be cut off, the top of it, can it not be cut off? That's for another shir. So how do you know how many aravos and hadasim do you need? The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Yishmael Omer, pri eitz hadar, achas, kapas tamarim, echad, anaf, eitz avos, shlosha, arve nachal, shtayim. So our concern is arve nachal. Why does it say arve, plural? To teach us you need two aravos, we obviously paskin like. Afilu shtayim, ketumin, two in the makarav, okay, fine. So arve has three different drushas. Arve could come to teach us various locations where it grows. Arve could come to teach us one belulav, one b'mikdash, and arvik also comes to teach us that you have to have two aravos. The problem is, we know that we only use one word for one drasha. We don't use a drasha for multiple different drashas. So how exactly we paskin that you need two aravos? Obviously, so it would come out that we can't use the other drasha of arve to include other locations. You'd have to only have arava that grows in the water. You can't come to include an arve, nachal shabal, or shel harim, because you can only use a drasha one time for the two aravos.
Is it really a problem to learn out different things from one pasuk? Isn't there a Gemara says you can't learn two different pasukim to teach the same idea? But like something that, but multiple, one pasuk can tell you, like it's like a new, like if you smash like a new set, like in tassos, it can tell you multiple things.
Lo suchlal adam, you're saying?
I forgot to ask you. I mean, I forgot to ask you the words of the Gemara. I thought there was a Gemara that said that in Sanhedrin that says that you can have multiple pesukim telling you.
Probably that lo suchlal adam. Probably no. Is that what you're talking about? Where various isurim can eat before davening ramam, or you can't eat the day you kill someone in Sanhedrin.
Yeah.
Right. So, but I think that might be about interpreting different psukim, like an entire pasuk maybe. We'll have to look at the Gemara.
Yeah.
But Tosos is bothered by this question, and many times we see Rishonim are bothered by this. Even the Gemaras are bothered by this. That you could, you know, if a word's used for one drasha, so how are you going to learn the other halacha? The Gemara never says, oh, you use that drasha twice. They might break it up, you know, one from the letter Vav or letter Hey or something. But Arve, there's no way to break it down. You can only use one halacha. And since we paskin that Arve comes to teach us we need two aravos, how in the world are we allowed to buy aravos that are grown elsewhere, they're not on the water? People grow aravos in the backyard. How are we allowed to use that? We only have one drasha. So I guess I'll leave you with that. We'll maybe end here because you didn't see the Tosos. Tosos addressed that question, and maybe tomorrow we'll do Tosos, the Rush, and the other Mar Makamos.
That was
Russia,
Lamdala days, which is just push the time.
Bottom?
That would work too.